Well, this morning, as we have gathered here to worship the Lord, I just want to encourage you. I am so thankful for a church that loves God and loves people. Amen. And I see that in this church, people that truly serve the Lord and people that love one another. Amen. And I'm excited about what God is doing in our children's ministry, in our youth ministry, in our growth groups. Amen. God is moving and working, and I encourage you to just be a part of what God is doing. Amen. Well, our vision as a church is to see lives changed, and I believe we're seeing that. We want to see people become disciples of Jesus, true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our goal is not just to get a big crowd out. No, and our goal is not just to get people to pray a prayer one time. We want to be fruitful and make disciples. Jesus said in John 15:8, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so will you be my disciples." He says, disciples bear fruit. Amen. We're supposed to reproduce ourselves. But then in verse 16, he says this, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain." And I want you to hear that last part. Our fruit is supposed to remain. Listen, fruit that doesn't last doesn't accomplish anything. It's got to be something that's lasting. We don't want to just see people come for a little while, you know. We want to see them actually serving God and living for Jesus, doing what God wants them to do in their life. We want to see them 10 or 20 years from now, if the Lord tarries, still serving the Lord, still living for God, still allowing the blessings of God to be on their life. Amen. That's what we want to see. We want to see lasting fruit. We don't want to see people come and have an experience with the Lord, and then it's a short time later, they're right back out living basically the same life they were before, headed for trouble, not really experiencing the blessings of God in their life, not really walking with the Lord. But consider this. The majority of people that you meet in this world don't attend church regularly. They may claim a certain church. They'll say, "Yeah, I have a church." Sometimes that's just to get you to leave them alone, by the way. They hadn't been to church in 10 years sometimes, but they've got a home church. I just want you to hear this, though, that those people are not really living for God and all that God has for them. But you see, part of the issue here is that most churches have a revolving door. People are coming in to the church, but they're going right back out just as fast. Some stay a little while, some stay a little longer. But it's amazing how even when the church has lots of new people coming in, sometimes people end up leaving just as fast. I want to tell you this morning, we got to do something about the revolving door. It's a problem for just about every church. And there is an answer in the scripture that we need to see this morning. And I want you to hear me. Listen, growth is not just about numbers. It's about people. It's about lives. It's about souls. That's what we're talking about here. So yeah, we want to see the church grow. We want to stop the revolving door. And we want to see people living in all that God has for them. And one of the most powerful, practical ways that we can do that is by encouraging one another. I figured y'all would shout. You're waiting for this big, powerful truth, right? How are we going to do this? It is that simple. If we just do what the scripture says and encourage one another daily. Here it is in Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. And I'm going to read it from the NIV. It's just a little simpler. He says, "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." Now, the King James and the New King James both use the word exhort. Anybody use the word exhort in your conversation this week? I mean, we might be a little familiar with the word, but we don't really talk that way anymore. And I'm not belittling that. I'm just saying that it doesn't really do justice to this word. It doesn't really give a full understanding of what this word means. In the original Greek text, the word that's translated encourage, listen, it's in the New Testament over 100 times, but it's translated several different ways, and I want us to look at a couple of those. It does mean to exhort or to urge. An example of that is in Romans 12, 1, the Apostle Paul, he writes, "I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice." You see, he's urging them, he's encouraging them to really live for God, to sell out, to do what's right. And yes, encourage means to urge others to do what's right, to urge others to be committed and really live for God. We need to understand that. The same word is also used in Matthew 5, 4, where Jesus says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." That word is the same word. Here's what we need to understand. You see, when somebody is hurting, you know what they need? They need to be encouraged. They need somebody to come along and comfort them with encouraging words. Somebody's going through a hard place in life. You know what they need? Encouragement. In fact, where the scripture talks about in 2 Corinthians 1, 4, where God comforts us in all of our troubles, so we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. And every time it said comfort, it's the same word as encourage. You see, if somebody's going through a hard time, what do? You encourage them. That's how you comfort them. So often, you see, it's the words of our mouth that are used to comfort somebody. We give them an encouraging word. So encouraging others. You see, it also implies lifting them up, building them up. And so I want you to understand, yes, to encourage is to urge others to do the right thing. It's to comfort those going through a difficult time, and it's to lift up and build others up. You know, the English word encourage is, well, two words put together. It's real simple. Encourage. You're putting courage into somebody when you encourage them. And oh, how we need courage to do what God wants us to do. We need courage to really live for God the way that we're supposed to. You know, when Joshua got ready to go into the promised land, 3 times the Lord told him, "Be of good courage." Because he was going to need a lot of courage to lead the people of God into that promised land by faith, to do what he needed to do. And I want to tell you, we need courage. We need to be putting courage into one another on a daily basis. That's what the Bible said. Encourage one another daily. And I'm going to say that a bunch during this message this morning, because this can't be a thing that we talked about on a Sunday and forgot. This has to be something that we make a habit and a lifestyle that we encourage one another. We all have times that we need encouragement. All of us. When I came back to Pastor Grace, and I say came back, you may not know, I was the youth pastor at Grace from 1982 to 1992, before a lot of you were born. I was the youth pastor. So I came back to pastor the church in 2004, and I followed Pastor Harold Nichols that had pastored the church for 50 years, and he was such a great pastor and loved by so many. There were a lot of people that didn't like me. Can you believe that? There were a lot of people that were not happy with me. I wasn't Brother Nichols. No matter how I might have wanted to be, I couldn't be him. I was just the me that God created. Amen. So y'all just pray for me. But here's what happened, though. Brother Nichols would encourage me all the time. I mean, constantly he would say, "You're doing a good job. I'm praying for you. I know what you're going through." Just little things all along, just kept telling me these things, just encouraging me, keeping me going. Did you know pastors need that? Every single one of us needs that kind of encouragement. Every single one of us. And sometimes, listen, it can be the person we think is real spiritual, but it can also be the person that hardly shows up. What do they need? A kick in the seat of the pants. Sometimes they just need encouragement. They need somebody to urge them, but also to build them up, to edify them. Well, we have some great encouragers in this church. They make such a difference. You know, preachers know sometimes they didn't preach just real good, like it just didn't go the way that they had hoped it would. And it's amazing how the Lord has certain people who will come and encourage me when I didn't think the message was very good. And they'll come say something to me about how the message really blessed them that day. And I'm just like, "God, you are so gracious and so good to me to keep me going, Lord." But in this body of believers, many of you are great encouragers. You keep other people going. You're helping other people along the way. And I just want to encourage you this morning. You just keep doing it and all the more. Amen. See, people get out of church for all kinds of reasons. Sometimes they get hurt. Sometimes they had disappointments that happened in their life. Sometimes they just get weary. And sometimes they make a big mistake. They mess up in some way, you know. But however it happened, you see, here's what we need to do. We need to encourage people more. We need to keep them built up. That's how we can stop that revolving door. You see, there's always going to be problems in this world. There's always going to be trouble. There's always going to be disappointments. This is why we need to encourage one another daily, daily. And if we do this, I want to tell you, it can be life-changing for people. It can make the difference in somebody's life. And it could be church-changing. We got to decide we don't do what the Word says. Amen? Amen. We do what the Word of God says. If we don't, we deceive our own selves. In Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, it says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." The first thing he said is, let us consider how we can urge one another on to love and good deeds. Consider. I think most of us don't ever even give it a thought. But the word here is actually talking about giving it careful thought, that we actually plan this, we think about it. It's something that's important. Have you really sat down and thought about it? Maybe even prayed about how you could urge others and help others? We need to be thinking about this. Consider carefully. Then he says, don't give up meeting together. I have to tell you, the NIV here is really gentle in the way it's translating that as don't give up. Because the word there is the same word where Jesus is on the cross and he says to the Father, why have you forsaken me? And here's the thing. The culture, the church culture we're in right now, it's like no big deal if I don't go to church. It's my business. They're forsaking their brothers and sisters. They're neglecting their church family. Y'all got real quiet. I know I'm going against the church culture. I'm just preaching what the Bible says. When we forsake the assembling of ourselves together, yes, we're neglecting our brothers and sisters. We have an obligation to them. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. We got a responsibility to do it. This is one of the reasons our gathering together as a body and in small groups and people getting together through the week are so important, so we can encourage one another. You can sit home in your pajamas on your own couch. You can have a drink and a snack and get up and go to the bathroom like you're watching a movie and live stream a church service. And people will say, it's almost the same. No way. No, it's not. Because I can tell you, listen, I've sat home before. I've been sick a few times. And that's, you know, that technology is wonderful when somebody can't be here. But it is not the same. There is a presence in the room here. There's something special, something tangible here in the room that ain't in your den. I know the Lord is in our homes. I know He's in your den. But there's something different when we gather in His name. But here's the other thing. You can't really encourage people while you're sitting on your couch. We interact here in this room, but out in the foyer and around, at least we're supposed to. You're not supposed to make a beeline in here and out as fast as you can. You don't want to rub shoulders with anybody. We are a body of believers. We're supposed to encourage one another. And here's the thing. Not only can you not encourage somebody, when you really need it most, you're not going to have it. And you can watch the big shot preachers. Oh, he's way funnier than Pastor Mark, you know. Ooh, that was so good. I'm going to watch him every week instead of go. Let me tell you something. He's not going to be there to encourage you when you need it. And the people of his church, they don't even know your name. We need church, the body of believers. We are supposed to encourage one another daily. We just need to obey the Lord and obey His word. Amen. And I just want to encourage those of you who consider yourself to be a spiritual person, you need to take the initiative. If a believer is carnal and worldly, you know what they need? They need to be encouraged. It's amazing how that when you encourage others, you find yourself encouraged. I've talked to people before, they say, well, nobody ever encourages me. Why should I do it? I just know that you reap what you sow, and I know that God will make it up to you. Proverbs 11:25 says, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. There's such a great need for encouragement in the body of Christ. People who are discouraged, they lack confidence and enthusiasm and the conviction to do what's best or what God wants them to do. Discouragement keeps people from doing the will of God, keeps people from really loving others, from really serving, causes people to go back on their commitments, to give up on their dreams. So we need to make encouragement a daily part of our lives. That's what Hebrews 3:13 said. Encourage one another daily. In this world, we're not going to get much encouragement to live a godly life or to serve the Lord with a whole heart. So where are we going to get it? Only from one another. You know, Jesus said, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. And you know, it's true, in this world, we're not going to get a whole lot of love and encouragement from the world. That's why when we come together, there's lots and lots of encouragement. We get enough of the other from the world. It should never be in the church that we criticize and fault find and we're hard on one another. No, you come here, we love you. We want to encourage one another. Amen? Listen, my wife is a great encourager. She encourages me about my preaching all the time. All the time. It's a constant, constant thing. The Lord knows how I need it. But she encourages me about so many different things. She tells me how good looking I am. Now, I think that crosses the line. We're not talking about flattery and making things up. That was a joke, y'all. She also tells me all the time how strong I am. I figured out how to get her to say I'm strong. Whatever it is, it doesn't have to be hard or heavy or whatever. I just have to act like it is. Like when I open a jar, I just go, and she'll say, you're so strong. But then, you know, we go on vacation, and here I am carrying four suitcases, and she's walking alongside me carrying her purse. She has me totally trained. And let me tell you how she did it. She didn't browbeat me. She kept encouraging me. She says, you're so strong. Some of you guys are laughing too much. But she makes me feel like I'm so strong. See, that's how powerful encouragement can be. The best way to change somebody's behavior is to pray for them and encourage them. There's power in your words. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so much of our life, it's the result of the words of our mouth. So we need to use our words to encourage others. And you know, the world has picked up on this principle of encouragement. They call it positive reinforcement. And I'm going to tell you as a pastor that sometimes children need a little more than positive reinforcement. But it does work. When you reinforce, when you encourage, you identify good behavior, you're more than likely going to get more of it. It really does work. It doesn't just work with children. It also works with teenagers and adults. We need to build one another up. We need to encourage one another. Who needs encouragement? We all do. The teenager that's not making good grades, they need encouragement. The one who's waiting for the right person to marry, they need encouragement. Not, how old are you now? Good grief. The man who just lost his job. Or maybe the man who's been out of a job for a while. He needs encouragement, not criticism. The one who's dealing with a long-term illness, you know what they need? Encouragement. That's right. The one who started serving in a new area of ministry, they need encouragement, because I can tell you it is almost always harder than what you think it's going to be. The one who's been in an area of ministry for a really long time, they need encouragement, because so many people get burned out. Encouragement can make the difference. It's amazing. I mean, if you just start thinking about it, so many areas of life, people need encouragement. What about that person that just has fallen into some sin? I want to tell you, they need a lot of encouragement to get back on track and to serve God. They don't need condemnation. And how often do we need this? Daily. Encourage one another daily. That way we will be ready to walk in victory and accomplish all that God has for us. Because here's the thing. Can you survive without encouragement? Yeah. I don't have to be patted on the back all the time. Don't have to get that. I'm going to tough it out anyway. Can we survive? Maybe. But here's the thing. How much more could we have accomplished and done if we had had encouragement along the way? Not just surviving, but really succeeding and achieving all that God wanted to do in our life. We need this, church. All of us need this. Who's supposed to do it? All of us. In Romans chapter 12, it lists out some of the gifts that people have, and it's really strange. In verse 8, he actually says, if it's encouraging, let him encourage. So some actually have this gift of being an encourager. The book of Acts tells us about a guy who had the gift of encouragement. His name was actually Joseph, but the apostles renamed him. They gave him the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. This guy was known for encouraging others. So they named him that. You know, in those times, the name actually meant something. So they named this guy son of encouragement. It was Barnabas who brought the apostle Paul, who was Saul, who had persecuted the church. Barnabas is the one who brought him in to the church. He's the one that encouraged the church to receive the apostle Paul. Barnabas is the one that when the apostle Paul just kind of pushed aside the young minister Mark because he just thought he wasn't ready, Barnabas is the one that took him under wing and helped him to become the man of God that he was supposed to be. That's the kind of guy that Barnabas was. He was just known as the encourager. That's what you want to be. You don't want to be the discourager. Well, here comes the discourager, and everybody runs. I have to tell you this morning, I got to work on this. It's just by nature. You know, I can see whatever's wrong. Anybody else? Don't raise your hand. You don't have to. You can just let me be out here all by myself. You know, I really believe in excellence. I want to fix everything that's wrong so that we have excellence. So that's not just right. I mean, it's 99%, but let's make it perfect. But here's the problem. It's so much of the time that can be negative and critical and fault-finding. We got to go the other direction. Now, as I said, some have a real gift for it, but all of us can do this. Some of us are just going to have to work at it a lot more than others, but we got to do it. It's amazing how we can think we're going to help somebody reach their potential by telling them everything they do wrong. But what works much better is telling them what they're doing right. And yes, we urge them to do right. but not with a critical spirit, but with an encouraging spirit. I mentioned Pastor Nichols earlier. He was such a great encourager. He would seldom tell you if he didn't like something. But he would always have something good to say, something encouraging, something positive to say. And the end result of that was that after so many years of ministry and being that way, there were a lot of pastors and a lot of well-known ministers who considered him to be their pastor. He's a leader of leaders. And a big part of that was because he encouraged them. He didn't criticize them. He built them up. He encouraged them. They needed it. We all need encouragement. Let's go back to Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. He says, see to it, brothers. We can't ignore this scripture. We have a responsibility to do it. It's not optional. He says, see to it. He's saying, look around you and make sure that none of you have a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the Lord. Now, here's the thing. Encouraging others may not seem real spiritual. It may just seem more relational than spiritual, but it's very spiritual when you realize the impact that it can have on somebody's life. What does he say to do about this issue of people turning away from the Lord? Encourage one another daily. See to it, he says. Encourage one another daily. See, it can make the difference in whether or not somebody makes it, whether or not they keep their commitment, whether or not they grow in the Lord. People today like to use this phrase from the Bible. They say, am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper? And they say that like that's a good thing. Am I my brother's keeper? They don't even know where it came from or who they're identifying with. Some of you, do you know where this came from? Am I my brother's keeper? When the Lord confronted Cain about murdering his brother, he says, am I my brother's keeper? You don't want to identify with Cain. Because here's the thing. We are our brother's keeper. He says, see to it that none of you drifts away from the Lord. We are our brother's keeper. We do have a responsibility. No, it's not just the pastoral staff. It takes all of us to do this, to encourage one another daily. So many drift away from the Lord. We all know people that at one time served the Lord and they're not really walking with God anymore. This is how we help people overcome. We encourage them. Such a great need for encouragement in the body of Christ. The one that's struggling, the one that strayed, the one that looks like they're doing good. Yeah. The one that's on fire. Yes. Encourage them. We all need it. This verse, it tells us that no matter how spiritual somebody may seem, or how maybe lukewarm they might seem, I'm just telling you, we need to encourage them. See to it that none of you. But it also gives us this truth that encouragement is powerful. See to it, brothers. How? Encourage one another daily. When we do this, it's a powerful thing that God will use that to make the difference, to help somebody. I think people ought to be more committed. I preach commitment. Jesus did too. I'm in good company. Commitment's a good thing. We need to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. We need to lay down our lives. We need to count the cost. We need to give our all. That's commitment. I preach commitment all the time, more than anything else in my ministry. I've preached commitment one way or another. But there's a problem in that a lot of the time, you know, we get convicted and we make a commitment, but then we don't keep those commitments. And here's the thing. Encouragement is a way that we can help one another follow through and keep our commitments. We ought to do it whether we get encouraged or not. But so much of the time, people don't keep their commitments. But what if we encouraged one another all along the way? I think that it would be a lot less often that people didn't keep their commitments. We need to consider not only what we say to someone and being critical, but also just in talking like the world and talking negative. We need to be careful that we have an encouraging word for people. Don't just regurgitate the negative stuff of the world. Actually, there's a Christian version that's just as bad or worse, where we talk all the time about how terrible the world is, how bad everything's getting. It's just going to worse and worse and worse. It's discouraging. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." This word unwholesome, it means worthless, bad, rotten. And it covers all kinds of bad speech. Everything from cursing and profanity to gossip and slander to crude and dirty jokes and to complaining. It's just human nature to gripe and complain, to fault find and to criticize. But it's spiritual to build others up and encourage others. After he tells us what we're not supposed to do with our mouths, Paul tells us what our speech should be. He says, "What is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." See, we're supposed to build others up in the things we say. Encourage them just by the things we say. Not only the things where we're addressing them, but just by our conversation. It ought to encourage and build other people up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." Amen. We just got to do it more. It's not always easy to live by faith in difficult times. It's not always easy to obey God. But we got to encourage one another to do what God wants us to do in our lives. It just gives us a little extra push, a little extra motivation. And oh, how that can just make it a little easier. Amen. I don't like a self-propelled lawnmower much because I go too fast and it slows me down. But I have mowed some tall, thick grass a few times when I sure did like that little bit of extra help. You know what I'm saying? We all need that at times. And encouragement helps us do that. Encouragement. You know, it just brings out the best in people. You just never know what somebody might accomplish, what they might become, with a little encouragement. It doesn't happen by accident. It has to be intentional. So I know that you can just, on the spur of the moment, you can encourage somebody. And I think especially those that are gifted that way, they do that. But I think for a lot of us, it needs to be something that we carefully consider, as the scripture said. We give thought to it and maybe even pray about it, especially if you know somebody that's drifted away from the Lord, or somebody that's not doing right, somebody that's struggling, or you know somebody that's going through a really hard time. Pray about that and see if God will give you a word of encouragement that will just help them make it through, make it back to where they need to be. It needs to be a way of life for us. When the Lord says to do something daily, it's got to be a habit, something that we do all the time. And I like to think of things that will help me and remind me. And so let me just give you a few triggers. When you see somebody down, it's time to encourage. You see somebody that's struggling, it's time to encourage. When you don't see somebody for a while, they need some encouragement. When you see somebody that's made a commitment and they're trying to live for God, that's a good time to encourage. When you see somebody that's really serving the Lord, encourage them. You see somebody that's worshiping God, really worshiping, entering into worship, encourage them. I'll tell you, this worship team, they are awesome. Awesome. Not just talent, but heart. Encourage them. Oh, yes. I just want to encourage you. All of you growth group leaders, I thank God for you. You make such a difference in the kingdom, in people's eternity. How blessed we are as a church. So much to be thankful for, so much to be encouraged about.